This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanizan and Noel Lim. It's 7.06 in the morning, Monday the 12th of July. Roshan, I hear there's some breaking football news just from a couple of hours
ago. I don't know how breaking it is.
It's
been about an hour so far. But yes, Italy are taking the Euro Cup, the Euro 2020 home, not England. And it went down to the penalties. And it was actually really sad if you're an England supporter because they missed three penalties. But props to them to taking it all the way here, but not entirely all the way back home.
And if you are an England supporter, our deepest condolences. Let's recap how global markets ended the week on Friday.
Yes, so looking at Asian markets, the Nikkei was down 0.6%. The Shanghai Composite was rather flat, marginally down 0.04%. But the Hang Seng was up 0.7% and Singapore's STI as well as FBM KLCI were both up 0.8%.
And US markets were in the green. The Dow Jones was up 1.3%, the S&P 500 up 1.1%, while the Nasdaq also gained 1%. So for some thoughts on where global markets could be headed this week, we have on the line with us this morning Jack Cousy, Director of Strategy at VFS Group in Sydney. Jack, thanks so much for joining us today. So US equities seem pretty unstoppable with all the major indices hitting new highs on Friday. What do you think of this upward trajectory? I mean, does it have the legs to keep on going?
Good morning. Thank you for having me. Congratulations to all the Italian supporters out there. I got up actually and watched it. It was a great game. I think it's got a lot of legs. Look, just because we've had a fantastic start to the year doesn't mean we have to have a bad end to the year. And let's just look at the metrics that are happening. So the biggest fear, I think the biggest weight on markets possibly was the fear of inflation. And to be honest with you, I think that's dissipating very, very quickly. I mean, the numbers will tell us in the next couple of months whether this inflation is transitory or here to stay. While I have been on the fence for a couple of weeks in the last couple of months, I am now firmly in the place to say that inflation is transitory. We've got market growth. It might not be as strong as we thought in terms of the back half of the year, but that's not necessarily bad. The stock market seems a little bit boring at the moment, which usually means it's a trend up. I think we're going to see a cracker end to the end of the year. I think this market's got a lot of legs. I still believe that tech will outperform the S&P 500 in terms of the NASDAQ in the second half of the year. I think we're going to see a really bullish end to the year. We don't have really anything in place to move it other than some external shocks. I think we're going to see a really good second half of the year here. And I think it's in place for a nice little rally towards the end of the year.
I just want to follow up on your point that inflation is transitory from your point of view. What's the time frame you're looking at? Is it something like 3 months, 6 months, or maybe even 18 months?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, we often say transitory, we don't even define it, nor does the Fed or central banks around the world. I can't give you an exact time frame. I think the September, October numbers will be quite defining in terms of whether we're going to see it as transitory or not. But I look at what's happening around us. I look at commodity prices. They are coming down. I look at used cars and auto sales. They have tempered. I look at supply chains around the world. They're starting to increase. So there are elements in place that tell me that this is transitory. But the biggest one for me is that the biggest weight on inflation that we've had in the last 10 to 15 years or 20 years has been one word, and that's technology. And we are still digitizing quicker than we ever had. And the biggest weight on inflation has been tech, and tech is still in place. So that will continue to move production prices down. We have the innovation of robotics. We have all these things, these places, these structural innovations that occurred pre-pandemic that are still there post-pandemic that will continue to have a weight on inflation. Now, we may see some short-term spikes in certain areas, but I believe that this is transitory. I think September, October will be really defining. But the bond market is telling us that it's not factoring in inflation at the moment. And I'm going to believe in the bond market, and that's why I'm quite bullish on the market going forward.
Jack, taking a look forward, this week we've got second quarter corporate results coming out and kicking off. Any particular things you're watching or any particular expectations?
Roshan, good morning to you, my friend. Let's just talk about tech because that's my wheelhouse. My daughter's favorite book at the moment is Peppa Pig, right? And there are three books. Peppa Pig goes to hospital, Peppa Pig goes to the library, and Peppa Pig washes her clothes. And every night we read one of these books, and every night it's the exact same story. And I can tell you that big tech will be the exact same story. They will blow numbers out of the water because they are just winners in this environment. So I expect great numbers out of those companies. I also expect that we will see a rebound in your high growth areas, your high growth price to sales companies. And I really like cloud going into this next corporate results area. I think it's got a lot of room to move. I think it's got a lot of accounts to follow. And that's where I want to be in this next earnings guide.
Anything besides the cloud sphere in tech, is there anything else you're paying attention to?
Yeah, I still like mobile payments. I still like your PayPals, your Visas. I think Square's come in. You know, I look at something like an ARKK, which is obviously Cathy Wood. And if you're listening, Cathy, I'm a big fan. and these types of stocks have been really hurt because of that fear of inflation, right, or the fear of interest rates. I like that area. You know, look under the hood there and see some of these stocks that haven't actually outperformed or outpaced the S&P 500. I think you're going to see a rotation back to that core. We're already starting to see it. And I think you're going to see a big move towards those areas in the back half of the year.
So, Jack, continuing on in the theme of tech, following XPeng's $1.4 billion IPO, China tech giants Xiaomi and Baidu are reportedly diversifying into the electric vehicle space. What are your thoughts on their entry into the Chinese EV sector?
Yeah, I mean, they've got a lot to do and they've got a lot of investment to make. I mean, let's push Xiaomi to the side for a moment. When you look at Baidu, I mean, they've been investing in autonomous for quite a long time. And I believe they have a joint venture or some cooperation with a major car company. So I think they've got, a little bit less barriers to entry there. In terms of Xiaomi, you need a lot of money here now, right? So this has become a very high entry market. You need to spend billions and billions of dollars. So I think they're behind the eight ball, particularly Xiaomi, but it's a massive industry. When we talk about electric vehicle sales, I think we were just over the 2 million mark last year or to this year for the last year. It's forecast to be 45 to 50 million in terms of EV sales. So much room to grow in potential for this market. And then we talk about inflation here for a moment. With oil pushing that 75 barrier, you start to see demand constraints because of the push that, which may accelerate the move into EVs and consumers buying that. So a lot of room here, a lot of competition. They've got to spend a lot of money. I don't know if it's necessarily the best thing for someone like Xiaomi to do in terms of that horizontal integration. But this is a sector that's going to continue to grow. I still like your Chinese automakers, like your XPeng, like your Li, to benefit from a growing demand in that market. But there's nothing that these tech companies can't do sometimes. So we'll see how it plays out. But I'm a bit wary of it.
Well, looking at the latest news, Alibaba's Link Dog has apparently called off its US IPO, and Beijing is proposing for companies to seek IPO approval before listing abroad. How does this affect the Hong Kong Stock Exchange's prospects? Do you see more Chinese companies opting to list on Hong Kong instead of the US?
Yeah. You know what a word we haven't heard in a long time, or I haven't heard, that we heard during the Trump era, was decoupling. This is the next move in decoupling. I think you're going to see not an end, but a real decrease in volume of Chinese companies listing in the US. I mean, let's just call it, this Didi thing has been a farce. It's been a sham. It's been disgusting. It's made investors be very wary about it. I'm not one to criticize economic management in China, but I'm going to criticize them here. I think this is the next move in the decoupling of the two largest economies in the world. And what you will find is that these Chinese companies will now move to listing in Hong Kong, but probably the Star Market. That's one you got to watch here, which is their Science and Innovation Board, which was began about 2 years ago. yeah, this is the end, I think, in my opinion. I don't think you're going to see many big IPOs out of China listed in the US because both sides are going to be wary now. And investors in the US and in the Western world will be wary about it. This is the next move in decoupling. And again, it's the splitting of the world in two halves. And I always say there are only two types of tech in the world, China and US tech, and you should own them both. And this is a further reason why you should do that.
Jack, when you were talking about it, it really does seem like the Chinese government is setting up a new version of the Chinese firewall, right? Essentially, in a sort of a backdoor way, kind of pulling back IPOs and making and kind of bolstering up their own capital markets. Or it seems like if you want to go a few steps, that's the kind of picture you can paint there. Do you think how much of a boost is this going to give the domestic Chinese markets or Hong Kong markets going forward? And will these markets be enough for Chinese tech companies to get the funding they need going forward?
Yeah, that's a really good question. To be honest with your statement, I think that's exactly what is happening right now. You are getting the new wall. I mean, we used to talk about the German wall in, you know, back before my days. I was only a little kid, but this is the wall, and it's the Iron Curtain, it's the tech wall, and it's the firewall reinforced. Look, in terms of capital markets, the Chinese now have a pretty decent capital market. You know, they've got, you know, there's a lot of liquidity floating around China. They're having some issues with certain bonds in terms of banks, but they've got a very high savings rate within the country. They've got capital controls in terms of outflows, which means you keep that money inside, which tends to benefit their market. You know, so in terms of accessing capital, I don't think it's a big issue. You know, they've got some, you know, they've got some good relations with, it's been a bit rocky with India. You've got that Southeast Asian belt there, which they've done a lot of work on securing. You've got Asian financial institutions that they can access. So I don't think capital is going to be a massive issue for these Chinese companies. The question is, what does this do for their international expansion into the Western world? And what does that do for their earnings and their balance sheets? You know, that's another question you need to ask yourself. Can Chinese companies do enough within that sphere of influence that they have there to warrant increasing their valuations? Now, my opinion is still yes, but that, you know, that pricing or that multiple we used to give them for international expansion into other markets may, you know, be hindered a little bit here because of this, you know, this party that we've seen that hasn't gone really well in terms of Chinese IPOs recently. So, yeah, I agree with you. This is the firewall. This is the next move in the Cold War between these two countries, and this will only intensify going forward. There's a line in the world, and it's along tech, and we can see it in front of our eyes right now.
Jack, just very quickly here, maybe give us a bit of background as to why there's been maybe skepticism towards the Chinese market and why we look towards Hong Kong instead. Is it a foreign exchange issue? Is it a regulatory issue? What are the main concerns when investors look to China?
Well, you got to remember, China is a closed market, right? So, you know, as in a foreign investor, you can't go in there and buy stocks on the Shenzhen Stock Exchange. You just can't do that, haven't been able to do that for a long time. There are some institutional buying. Hong Kong has always been that window to China and window to the world. I mean, as an overseas investor, you got to be a little bit skeptical right now. What are you worried about? You're worried about dual listed companies in the US being banned by the US. That hurts you. You're worried about, you know, I can't swear on radio, but quasi silly IPOs like Didi, you know, that is an external shock. So there is that concern that you have. But the Chinese have, you know, they're on a trajectory path. They want to reinforce their own capital markets. They build these kind of connects between, you know, the main bourse and the Hong Kong, which means you get Chinese money in there, which allows for capital valuation. So look, this is a strategic game between the two superpowers in the world, and we're not playing checkers here, people. We are playing chess, and in most cases, it's 3 and 4D chess here. So these are just moves on a chessboard that we investors have to deal with, and this is not the last move from both these economies. I mean, this is going to be a running game that's going to go on for, I'm going to say, at least a decade.
Jack, thanks so much for speaking with us this morning. That was Jack Kuzi, Director of Strategy at VFS Group, laying out that this is the problem that we're going to be watching for really the next decade as we see how the Chinese tech landscape continues to evolve. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.